In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The text for our message for today is from our epistle reading from Colossians chapter 1, especially these words. St. Paul writes, "We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will, through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of..." And this is our text. On August 8, 1914, Captain Ernest Shackleton set sail from England with his crew that you see there up on the screen, his crew of 27 men. And the destination for Captain Shackleton was the continent of Antarctica. He had the goal of taking his crew and accomplishing the first land crossing of that frozen continent. And as they set sail, they began a journey of 12,000 miles across the open sea. And they made it almost to that destination, except that they were stopped 100 miles short of the shores of Antarctica when they got caught in the ice. Captain Shackleton and his crew were forced to abandon ship, and they watched in horror as the ice came in and crushed their 300-ton schooner, and it was sunk in the ice. Captain Shackleton and his men had to abandon ship, and they lived on that ice for 9 months through the Antarctic winter, living on the ice floes, surviving on nothing more than seal meat, until finally spring came and the waters opened up and they could set sail in their lifeboats and they could go to the only land that was nearby, a piece of land called Elephant Island, 100 miles away. And 7 days later, they did arrive there, but their troubles were far from over because, you see, Elephant Island was land, but it was barely that. It was an uninhabited rock with no people, no supplies, and no hope of rescue at all. In fact, the only help that could be found was to be found in the whaling camps of South Georgia Island, which were 800 miles further away. So Captain Shackleton gathered up 5 of his men who were in good shape, and they set sail for South Georgia Island. 800 miles. They were at sea for 17 days. They sailed through hurricane-force winds, 20-foot waves, all of this in a little 22-foot-long lifeboat. And miraculously, they all made it. They arrived at South Georgia Island, but when they washed ashore, they still had to trek over 22 miles of mountains and glaciers to arrive at the settlement. So Captain Shackleton got together a rescue party to go back for the sailors that were left there on Elephant Island. They tried to get to them 3 times, but the storms were so bad they couldn't make it. Finally, on the 4th attempt, 4 months later, after he had left that crew behind, they arrived on Elephant Island. What would you expect in a moment like that when they got back there? Not a whole lot of hope, right? But amazingly, every single member of that crew was there and still alive. Not a single soul had been lost. Now, interestingly, The name of that original boat that Shackleton and his crew set sail on, you can see a picture of it up here. A couple of years ago, some explorers actually located that shipwreck, and they found it, and they took photographs of it. The name of his original ship was the Endurance. It's a very fitting name, considering what Captain Shackleton and those 27 men were, what they were all about. They were resilient. They were determined to persevere in the most inhospitable, most difficult, and dangerous circumstances, facing some of the greatest challenges that any of us could ever imagine. And that brings me to another story of another group of bold adventurers who are going to be setting out on a journey very soon. In just a couple of days, on July 17th, 2025, Captain Jacob Schopp is going to set sail with his crew. It's slightly larger than Captain Shackleton's crew. He is going to have a crew of 36. And they are going to be embarking on their journey, except that they're going to be going out in a bus, not a wooden 19th century boat, which I hope that bus should at least be a little bit more comfortable than some old wooden schooner. And I'm going to say and guess and venture that the food that they're going to be eating when they get to their destination of New Orleans is going to be a lot better than seal. Although maybe along the way we might have to have some fried alligator or some frog legs and things like that. And the only problem that this crew is going to have with ice is that the ice that they fill up in their water bottles in the morning is going to melt way too quickly in that New Orleans. But the goal for this crew is the same as Shackleton's. That goal of endurance. The goal to endure. To endure not just a week of the National Youth Gathering down in New Orleans, but to have an endurance that goes beyond 1 week. It's an endurance that is going to last for the long run. Because you see, that word endure is the theme for our youth gathering this year. And like that endurance was a fitting name for Ernest Shackleton's ship, this theme of endure is fitting for the journey of faith and life upon which our youth are going to embark. Because being a young person, being a person of God, being a person of faith is not an easy thing, especially for young people these days. You know, young people these days face all the struggles that you might remember from your days back in school as well. You have the struggles of sports and classwork, relationships, jobs, and thinking about the future. Those sorts of thoughts and those sorts of fears and concerns have always been a part of the teenage years. But folks these days who study this kind of stuff will tell you that there's something very different happening here in 21st century America in the year 2025. Because you see, for years and years, when young people looked ahead and they thought about all those challenges of the future, they always looked ahead to those challenges and they thought about them with some sense of hope and optimism about the future. They looked ahead with anticipation. There were going to be challenges, but there were also going to be promises and possibilities of what was to come. But now the researchers and the folks who study this stuff tell us that for our young people today, there's sort of a new outlook. They sort of have kind of a new genre of entertainment, of books and movies and TVs and video games that have become very popular among them. It's a new word maybe for some of you. The word is dystopian. And when we talk about dystopian, we think about something very different than a picture of a bright and promising future. The dystopian movies and video games and books are often very dark and bleak. In these books and in these movies, the future is dangerous. Things are crumbling. Society has broken down. The wealthy and the strong own everything and everyone. In these stories, in these movies, in these books, there is hopelessness. And again, folks who study this kind of thing say that the reason this is so popular now is because this generation of young people see things in this way. They see things very differently. They look at this world and they say things are getting more and more expensive, opportunities are shrinking, freedom is declining, progress is causing problems. This generation, some of these researchers say, is one of the first generations that believes that their lives are going to be worse than the lives of their parents and their grandparents. And whether or not it's actually going to be that bad, the fear, the anxiety, and the depression are very real. There is a lot to endure. It is hard to keep the faith when all of these things are going on, when all of these things are happening, when it seems like the whole world is saying to you, don't. And plus, we can be sure that even if there is no worst case scenario like this that actually happens, we know that life beyond those teenage years on into adulthood is never a walk in the park or a picnic. Even in the best case scenarios, it is never easy. There are, as you and I know and understand, there are always challenges that come in even the best of times. There are moments of pressure and temptation. There are choices that you need to make. There are changes that come whether you like it or not. There is heartbreak, there's loss, and there's death. You know, I'm 49 years old, and I keep waiting for the day when finally I'm going to arrive at that place where I feel like I'm not being hard-pressed or harassed by worry or fear, but I haven't found it yet. And so this endure that we are talking about, it's not just endure for those high school years. Endure for the marathon, the lifelong challenge that is coming. Get in the starting blocks. Get ready. Get set. Go. Go where, you might wonder at this point, after everything I've just told you and the whole picture that I've painted. After you think about all this, maybe you just want to go back to bed and pull the covers back over your head and go back to sleep. And I don't blame you if you feel that way. Maybe some days that is what you need to do. But the thing is, you can't stay there in that place with the blankets pulled up over your head. We go on and we endure. Now, endure could just sound like some sort of a hard, pointless message if that's all there was to it. You know, just a message of, well, keep your chin up and always look on the bright side. It could seem like it's something very pointless, very hollow, if it wasn't for this fact that our endurance and our endure, our call to endure, that call to endure that St. Paul has for us here in our reading from Colossians for today, our endurance is based and focused and it is rooted on something that endures, something that lasts, something that is resilient, and something that is dependable. It is based on the story of endurance that you see illustrated up there on the screen for us here today, the story of God's endurance. The story of God's endurance starting at the very beginning. You see that downward facing arrow right there at the very beginning, at the start of all things, the start of our story. It all begins with God's creation. That our God is a God of love and a God of grace and a God of goodness, a God who makes the heavens and the earth and all that is in them and fills them with all good things. And that God desired for man to be the crown jewel of that creation and to live in that beautiful creation that God made in perfect harmony and perfect love and a perfect relationship with God, this was what God meant. This is what God designed us for. This is the way that things were supposed to be. This creation that God made, that state of living in communion with our loving Heavenly Father, this is what God meant to endure forever, with no suffering and no pain and no loss. But you know what comes next. In their rebellion against God, Adam and Eve brought sin into this world, and death entered the picture. And ever since then, this good creation of God, which is still good, has been plagued with chaos and evil and brokenness. And in this fallen, broken world, endurance is now that something that is necessary. But it's elusive. It's difficult to find. No matter how hard we try, no matter how strong you are, no matter how good you are, no one could endure forever. The brokenness gets you eventually. And death is waiting. People wear out. People fall. People disappoint. And people will hurt. People will give up, but God does not give up. Even though our strength wears out, God's strength never does. God's love and God's goodness still endures. God looks at this broken world, and out of this whole broken world, He chooses for Himself a special people, a holy people. It starts with Abraham and Sarah. The two who were chosen out of this whole world, Abraham and Sarah, who were almost 100 years old, childless, but God picks and selects them and makes this enduring promise to them that through them, all of this world is going to be blessed. And throughout all of the centuries that would come, the generations of Abraham and Sarah that would follow, we see God's faithfulness endures to this people. God's love for this people endures, and it goes on and on and on. God endures until that time had come. Until that time was just right. Until God sends His Son to fulfill that promise of rescue. God does not leave His people stranded and shipwrecked in that place. But rescue comes in Jesus Christ. The one who walks this earth and loves God and loves his fellow man with all of his heart and soul and mind and strength. Jesus Christ, who endured all of this. He endured the shame and the sin and the rejection of this world. He endures the pain, the ridicule. He endures the cross and the tomb. And he rose from the dead, the victor over all. Conquering sin and death for you and me and for this whole world. And he ascended on high into heaven, where he still reigns as the Lord and Savior of this world that he has loved so much and that he has saved. Christ's love and forgiveness endures. And Jesus has sent into this world and into this broken creation his new chosen people. People of faith, who hear his word, who have heard his call, who have seen and believed in his goodness, the people who believe in him. That is, you are his new chosen people. He sends us out into this world, and we go out into this world to face hardship and suffering and death, but we carry with us into this world an incredible hope. This incredible hope and confidence, knowing that just as he is victorious, just as Jesus Christ has conquered sin and death, just as he lives, we have a living hope as well. Because he is our captain, he is our rescuer, and his ship will not sink. And we carry this hope with us throughout all of our life. We endure all these hardships, knowing that in that moment, when the end comes, when that day arrives, when that day when you and I breathe our last, we are not going to be stranded. We are not going to be abandoned. We are not going to be left as orphans or shipwrecked and desolate and hopeless. But our Lord Jesus Christ is the one who is going to come, and he is going to gather us to himself. He is going to take us to be with him in that heavenly kingdom which knows no end. And we also live with that hope and that promise that there will be a day when our Lord will once again come to this earth. He will return, and you and I are going to see him face to face and eye to eye. All who have endured by his strength will be there in his new creation, the new heavens and earth, where once again all things will be good. There will be no death, there will be no sin. That new creation will endure forever. This is what it means to endure. It's more than just a youth gathering theme, but it is the story of God's people. It is the story of God's grace. It is the story of life. It is the story of your life that is lived and caught up in his story. Wherever you go, whatever it is that you do, from youth to old age, from birth to death, from baptism to life everlasting, his word, the word of the Lord, his forgiveness, his grace, his people, those who are his, we have that promise that we will endure forever. Jesus, our Savior, pilots through this life. He keeps us in his grace. Not a soul, not one of those who are given to him, not one of you will ever be lost. Amen. Now may that grace and that mercy, that peace and that love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that surpasses all of our understanding, may this guard and keep your hearts and your minds to Christ our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.